Thank you. Good evening, everyone. It's lovely to be with you tonight to worship the Lord together, to hear the flowing of His Spirit among us as we worship Him and feel that sense of the ointment flowing down from the head, that heavenly unction to the skirts of the garments. I just want to say a thank you to the committee who invited me to come and share the Word of God with you tonight. I feel it's a great privilege to be here and to come with what I believe God wants to say. And I trust that He'll speak to all our hearts as we're before Him. And when Mark just mentioned there that the theme of this conference is based on those scriptures in Revelation 22, which Norman told me came after he had the vision. And I was unaware of the details, and I'm sure Norman will share the fine details with you tomorrow. But for those of you who don't know about this vision, basically, as Mark said, in the late 60s, which was in the time when God was moving among us in a particular way, God gave Norman a vision of a tree like a maple whose leaves fell in one heap under the tree. And at the foot of the tree, and they were glowing like fire. And then they were caught up by a pillar of wind and up into the air. I hope I got this right, Norman. And then he saw a globe, and he saw them falling on the globe in various places. And shortly afterwards, God spoke to Norman through those verses in Revelation. The leaves of the tree are for the healing of the nations. It's a wonderful thought that that where the river of God flows from Jesus in heaven right now, flowing to you and me, as we've been opening our hearts to Him and heard that flowing of the river coursing through our company here tonight already, in our worship, in our praises, in the exercise of spiritual gifts. Hallelujah. The river's been coursing through us. I was recently in a country, a small country in the Himalayas, and in a little chapel that was perched on the side of a mountain, and there was fresh air at the back of the chapel as you where the speaker sat, and you looked down 2,000 feet to a river far below. That was an interesting place to share the Word of God. But all you could hear was the thunder of the river. And as we mate together, hallelujah, we hear the thunder of the river as Jesus comes amongst us. And He wants to set our hearts on fire again with the fire of His love. Amen? Hallelujah. Glory to His wonderful name. The leaves of the tree. Who are the leaves of the tree? Somebody prayed it. We're the leaves of the tree. We are. We are God's chosen instruments, whether we're aware of it or not, whether we conscious that we are or not. God has chosen you and me, if we know the Lord, to be His instruments, to bear His healing to the nations. That's a big job, isn't it? That's a really big job. But what is God saying to us today through that vision? Norman received it possibly 40-odd years ago. It's a long time. Time of testing biblically. And here we are. But I firmly believe that everything that God gives through the Spirit is eternal. And therefore it never loses its impact. Hallelujah. You know, Jesus through the Spirit, through the eternal Spirit, offered Himself to God on the tree of Calvary, and therefore what Jesus did there has eternal validity. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to His wonderful name. And so I really believe that God wants to speak to us through this vision, through those scriptures, those particular scriptures, and through His Word, and say things to us. And as Mark said, are we listening to the Lord? Do we have our ears opened? You know, so often the Lord had to say to the people in His day, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." In other words, finely tune your ears to the nuances of God's voice as we meet together during these few days. Blessed be his name. As we do that together and open our hearts and share what God gives us, God will impact all of our lives and all of our churches represented here and will do new things among us. I really, really believe that. Hallelujah. Glory to his name. I really believe God wants to do fresh things with fresh fire in all of our lives. Fresh wind, fresh fire. That was a book that came out a few years ago. And I believe God wants to speak the same things into our lives today. I'd like us to just turn for a moment. Someone prayed about the ancient wells, and we're going to dig an ancient well in Exodus chapter 3 to begin with, and then we're going to move into the New Testament. And I'd just like to pray as we turn to the Word of God. Heavenly Father, we thank you for giving us your everlasting Word that is settled forever in heaven. Thank you, Lord, this Word is creative. Lord, as someone has prayed, your Word is creative. It begets things. It creates things in our lives and in our days. We want to pray now, Lord, as we look into your Word. You would speak your creative word into each of our hearts, into the very depths of our beings, Lord, that it may bear fruit there for your eternal glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, we're just going to read about that man, Moses. And I'm going to read from verse 1 to verse 6 in Exodus chapter 3. Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law. God gave him that job to do for 40 years to learn how to be a shepherd of God's people. Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the back of the desert and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire from the midst of a bush. So he looked, and behold, the bush was burning with fire. But the bush was not consumed. And the angel of the Lord is a title as believed to be a revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ before he was incarnate on the earth. So on a few occasions he appeared to men and women and he revealed himself in particular ways to them. And here he appears to Moses, and Moses began to know who Jesus Christ was, although he didn't know the name. He didn't know the blessed name, but Hebrews tells us that he was willing to suffer the reproach of Christ rather than enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. So he was aware of Jesus Christ as the Son of God, appearing to him in his life. And that appearance of Jesus here in a burning bush, wow, the leaves were aflame with fire. What an amazing sight that must have been. Apparently, exploding bushes are quite common in the Sinai Desert. I've never seen one myself. Hands up anybody who has. Must be quite a sight to see a bush explode. But anyway, here we are. Here's a bush that's exploding with fire, but it's still there. Its leaves are still there. The veins are there, glowing with fire, and the whole thing is there, but it's not turning black. It's being consumed with the fire, the holy fire of God. And Moses, what does Moses say? Because I think this is what we need to hear. Moses said, "I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush does not burn." Hallelujah. I will now turn aside. This is what we're doing here. If you're able to be here over this weekend, we're turning aside to hear the voice of God. We're turning aside to see what God would say to us. We're positioning ourselves, as Mark said, to put ourselves in front of Jesus Christ so that he can communicate his heart to our hearts. So that we can be the people he wants us to be. In our day, in our generation. In your day, in your generation. Hallelujah. So he turned aside. And what happened when he turned aside? Well, when the Lord saw that he turned aside to look, God called to him from the midst of the bush, and the first thing God says was his name. It's a wonderful thing. God calls us by our names. Moses, Moses. As far as we know, it's the first time Moses had heard God calling his name. Maybe it's the first time for you tonight to hear God calling your name. But God speaks with an infinite tenderness. The first thing he says to us, you are a unique individual created in the image of God. I have created you for my glory, and I want you to have a personal relationship with me. Isn't that wonderful? That's why Jesus calls us by name. And as far as we know, this is the first time Moses had heard God call his name. And as Moses wrote the book, we can reliably take that as gospel. Okay. So he heard God call. Bless the name of the Lord. And what was his response to God? Here I am. Here I am. Three little words in English. I don't know how many in Hebrew. But here I am. That to me indicates a willingness to listen to God and to do what he says. Abraham said it to God on that day when God asked him to sacrifice his beloved son on Mount Moriah. God said to him, Abraham, and he said, here I am, Lord. Here's Moses at the burning bush. God calls his name. He says, here I am. Do we have hearts like that, beloved, tonight? Say to the Lord, Lord, the breath of your wind is blowing through our gathering tonight. You're blowing on that heap of leaves. Lord, here I am. I'm willing to be taken up and dropped wherever you like. Yeah? Whether it's in a terrace house in Liverpool, or whether it's in the countryside of the Wirral, or whether it's in a far, far country that you may only just have heard of. God wants to lift us up, take us, scatter us according to his will and desire, and he wants us to have a heart like Moses that says, here I am. Jesus had that heart, didn't he, when he came into the world. He said, sacrifice and offering you don't require, but a body you've given to me, Lord, Father, and this is what I want to do. I want to do your will. That was the first time in the history of the world that a man said that to God and lived it through from beginning to end. Hallelujah. Even to death on the cross of Calvary. Jesus went through with it. And when Moses turned aside, this is a wonderful thing. When Moses turned aside to see this great sight, why the bush does not burn. And of course, his life was going to become a burning bush for Jesus. He was going to become a burning bush and lead 2 million people out of bondage so that they could receive the healing grace of Jesus Christ in their lives. Have you thought of that? How much pain they had been suffering in Egypt as slaves. And they cried to God in their bondage. And the end of chapter 2 tells me this. God heard their groaning. God remembered his covenant. God looked upon them. And God knew. God knew what they were going through. And he determined to bring them out of their bondage into liberty, into a land that was full of abundance, that had everything they would ever need, and most of all, his presence among them. That was God's desire. And that's what God did through Jesus Christ for you and me, beloved, and for men and women of every tribe, tongue, and nation on the face of the earth. Hallelujah, that we should come out from our bondage to sin and Satan and know the liberty as sons and daughters of the living God. Hallelujah. Glory to his wonderful name, Jesus. Hallelujah. He's wonderful, isn't he? Amen. Jesus did that for you and me, beloved. Hallelujah. Moses did a great work for God. And it's a type, he's a type of the Lord. And he had two great revelations as he knelt there before that bush. The first one was, shoes off your feet, son. That was the first one. Shoes off your feet. Why is that? Well, this place is holy ground. This place is holy ground. It's holy ground because God is here. God was before him. And Jesus Christ is before you and me. And as we make decisions in our hearts, as we move towards Him in our hearts by the promptings of the Holy Spirit, so God's record on our lives is a holy record. Hallelujah. God's record is holy. And He writes things in our lives that will stand for all eternity as we move towards Him by the prompting of the Holy Spirit. And the first revelation Moses had, God is holy. I've got to leave my shoes behind. What do shoes represent? Well, the dirt and mire of the streets. And one of the first things I learned in Asia when we went to live there was that you have to take your shoes off at the door so you don't take the muck of the street into the house with you. And you're there barefoot in the house with those who've invited you in. God invites you and me to come into His presence. And it's the holy presence. We're not to bring the muck and the mire of the streets in with us. And God has made provision for us because of that. The second thing, the second great revelation that Moses had was of the name of God. Well, it wasn't really a name. Verse 6, God says to him, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. There was an awesome fear came upon his heart. And if we just go down the chapter just a little, to verse 13, Moses asks God a question. Indeed, when I come to the children of Israel and say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you, and they say to me, what is his name? What shall I say to them? 400 years of terrible bondage in Egypt had made them forget the blessed name. And God said to Moses, I am who I am. That's not really a name, is it? That's a statement about your being. I am who I am. It's a mysterious statement because it's not revealing a name. But it's a statement that declares who God is. I've been told that the Hebrew behind those words can also be read as, I am everything that my people need me to be. I like that. I am everything that my people... Is Jesus everything that you need Him to be tonight? Yeah. That's who He's come to be, to you and me, beloved, in our lives, in our daily work, in our daily home situations, in our futures, wherever He may lead us. Jesus has come to be the great I am in your life and mine. He revealed Himself, didn't He, of course, through John the Apostle as the I am. Before Abraham was, I am. I am the Good Shepherd. I am the bread of life. I'll make every provision that you need in your life. Yeah, I'm the Good Shepherd. I know my sheep and my sheep know me. No one can snatch you out of my hand. I will protect you for the whole of your life. And then you'll be with me through all eternity. What a wonderful Savior. Great I am, Jesus. And God reveals this name to Moses. And it's the power of the name. He reveals His holiness to Moses. And then He reveals His power. I am everything that my people need me to be. What a wonderful God. Do you remember that Jesus used that name when He was on the sea? If you want to turn into the New Testament with me, and to Matthew chapter 14 for a moment. Matthew 14. And... that time when the disciples were kind of losing their decorum, and these mostly strong fishermen who were used to this sea, suddenly they were on a very rough sea, and they see this figure walking across the waves. Wow, that was scary. Would you have been scared? I think I would. Middle of the night, black as pitch, suddenly the shape appears out of the gloom, and they cry out in fear, saying it's a ghost. And immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, cheer up, lads. I am is here. I am is here. What a wonderful word. He spoke that across the waves. Maybe Jesus is speaking that into your life tonight. Through the troubled sea of your life, Jesus is saying to you, cheer up. Be of good courage. That's a stronger way of saying it. Be of good courage. Okay, cheer up can be a word that's lost on people when their hopes are dashed, when they're in despair, when life is treating them very badly, when they have to cope with some severe sickness or severe problem in the family. You can't say cheer up, but Jesus says, be of good courage. Be of good courage. The I Am is here. The I Am is here. The one who can turn every situation around. The one who can turn you and me around so that we can face every situation that we will ever have to face in the knowledge that He is in control. Hallelujah. Isn't that wonderful? God is always in control. Please forgive me, those of you who have heard this story, I'll keep it to a bare minimum. But recently, as I said, I was in a country in the Himalayas and on a mountain road that had 2,000 feet of fresh air on my side of the car and a mountain face, a mountain wall on the right side. And I wasn't driving, a brother of that country was driving, and we were in the middle of nowhere. We were a long way in the middle of nowhere. And they've been blasting the mountain face to make the road wider. So there were heaps of boulders and just this little track and 6 inches of road before it was a long way down. And suddenly there was a noise from the back wheel, and the driver thought he had a flat tire. And we got out, and 5 wing nuts had come off the wheel. It was only being held on by one, and the noise was the wheel trying to fall off on the side of the mountain. Yeah, well, God was in control. God was in control. Firstly, we didn't fall off the mountain. That was the first thing. Praise His wonderful name. I knew we wouldn't fall off the mountain because God had said a word. God has spoken His word before we went. And when God has spoken His word, you can believe His word. I will keep your going out and your coming in. When God speaks that word to you, you know you're safe. Yeah, so the driver and I walked back down the road, and within a mile we found the 5 missing wing nuts. Which is amazing. I mean, if I showed you pictures, you'd be totally blown out of your minds. But anyway, we found the 5 missing wing nuts. There were other problems with the wheel, which I won't go into. But it showed me that God was completely in control. We drove back to a workshop 2 hours, back down the road, had a temporary repair, then drove back into the wilderness for another 5 hours, and then the wheel locked again in the dark, in the middle of nowhere. What do we do? Well, I'd heard somewhere way back in the past, and this is where God uses information. You know, He gives you a database up here, and the Holy Spirit recalls things from time to time. And I'd heard from a bus driver who'd had a bus breakdown, you can get a bus anywhere in first gear. So anyway, he got back to the garage in first gear, so we went in first gear, and a few miles down the road, there was a little farmer's workshop. And there was a man mending these little farmer's carts, rotary plow things. And took the wheel off, and there was a bolt inside the wheel, which hadn't been there when the wheel was fixed. Okay, we carry on. We get to a mountain pass at 12,000 feet. The road is blocked. There is no access for the rest of the night. And this is at 12,000 feet in the Himalayas. So what do we do? Well, you pray, don't you? Of course you pray. Because God's in control. And the brother I was with went walking down the road. And quite a long time later, in fact, we sat there for 3 hours. But after 3 hours, he came down the road with a man. And the man opened the barrier that was blocking the road and led us through. Because God was in control. And God wanted us to be in the town where we were heading the next morning. And we got there at 4 o'clock in the morning after 20 hours on the road. And God was in control. Hallelujah. Yeah, we got there at 4 a.m. The pastor called us at 8 a.m. for breakfast. Hallelujah. But God wanted us to be there. Jesus is the I Am. If you're in a boat with Jesus on the sea, you don't need to worry. The sea may be as troubled as trouble can be. If Jesus is in the boat, you're okay. It's when Jesus is on the outside, he's not with you there. Why isn't Jesus here? Well, he actually has you in view all the time. The scriptures say the Lord had the disciples in view. He sent them into the sea, into the troubled sea, and he had them in view all the time. And then he came to them just at that time when they needed him most. Hallelujah. You may be blown about as a leaf, but you're in the hands of Jesus. You're in the hands of his love. I want to talk about a man called John. John chapter 5. John chapter 5, verse 33. You know, this is Jesus' attestation to a man called John the Baptizer. And Jesus says of him, John chapter 5, verse 33, "You have sent to John, and he has borne witness to the truth. Yet I do not receive testimony from man, but I say these things that you may be saved. He was the burning and shining lamp, and you were willing for a time to rejoice in his light." He was the burning and shining lamp. He was a leaf of the Lord, glowing with God's fire, who fulfilled the mission that God had called him to. And I believe God wants you and I and the churches that we belong to fulfill the mission that God has called us to. What is that? To bring healing to the nations. Did you know there are over 100 ethnicities in the UK now who have never lived here before? Did you know that of those 100, a large percentage are inaccessible in their own countries? God has brought them to our shores. And there's a group at the back of our beloved Iranian brothers and sisters who've come to these shores, and they're finding the Lord here. Isn't that wonderful? Glory to his wonderful name. And John was a burning and a shining light, and he had something in his life which I believe is valid for us and will help us find what God is saying to us in our day. And if you'd like to come with me, I'm going to John chapter 1. And there are three particular things about John the Baptist or John the Baptizer that I feel the Lord wants me to share. So we go to John chapter 1. Okay. And John was, Jesus said he was the greatest man who ever lived. The greatest man who ever lived. Yet he who is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. Greater how? Greater in the privileges that we have and access to God that we have. First of all, John chapter 1, verse 29 and verse 36. Well-known verses. "The next day John saw Jesus coming towards him and said, 'Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world.'" And then verse 36, "And looking at Jesus as he walked, he said, 'Behold, the Lamb of God.'" John was the first man to have a revelation of Jesus Christ as a sinless man. The other disciples were around him. They came to him. Later in the chapter, we read of Peter and Andrew and Philip and Nathaniel. They come to him. But John's revelation was, this is God's Lamb. This is God's sin bearer. This is he who will take the sin of the world and bear it away forever. What a gigantic task. What a gigantic man. Only the Son of God could have taken that task on and seen it through. The sin of the whole world on his shoulders. He himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree, writes Peter later. By his stripes we are healed. There's the healing of the nations coming through the wounds of Jesus Christ on Calvary. The leaves of the tree are for the healing of the nations. Jesus came to heal the nations. Do you remember that that word of healing was spoken over John before he was ever born? In Malachi, you don't need to turn to it, I'll just read it to you. The Lord says, I will send my messenger and he will prepare the way before me. That's the Lord speaking, my messenger, John. Later, Malachi chapter 4, verse 5 and 6. Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. And he will turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the hearts of the children to their fathers. What a healing word that is. That was John's ministry as well as his baptizing. He was sent to turn the hearts of fathers to the children and children to their fathers. That speaks to me of a healing of relationships that only God can do. Takes the almighty power of God for relationships to be healed in this life. I come from a little, not so little, but a town in the Midlands. And I wasn't brought up in a Christian family, and relationships in our family weren't great. But when Jesus Christ came into my life, he gave me a love for my family that I never had before. I was there in the family. I was okay. Okay, life was okay. But I didn't have that deep down love that comes from God that goes beyond everything and learns to forgive those maybe who have hurt you in some way, whether it's verbal or whether it's emotional, mental, physical, whatever way it's been. Only when Jesus Christ, the Almighty Sin Bearer, is in our lives and reigning in our hearts can we forgive those who have hurt us in any way and who gets through this life without any hurt. Very few people. I learned something about forgiveness recently in Cambodia. I was with a man, a dear man. He's a farmer, plain, ordinary Cambodian rice farmer, lives in the sticks, and if you get dropped as a leaf, sometimes God will drop you in the sticks. And it took a 5-hour canoe journey to get there. Anyway, not nowadays, there's a road, but when we first went, 5 hours in an open canoe makes for a very hot leaf. Anyway, there's this beautiful man, his name is Bupan. Pan, Farmer Pan. And he was sharing in church one day about what God had spoken into his heart. It was a special meeting that dealt with or spoke of healing of inner wounds. And he stood up and he said this. He said, in the Pol Pot time, my next door neighbor killed all of my family. I managed to escape. That neighbor still lives in my village and I see him every day. But God has spoken to me that I must forgive him. Could you do that? With our hurts, with our wounds, sometimes they go very deep. Particularly in families, they do go very deep. There was another man. He came through refugee camp and the same thing had happened to him. The killer of his family had been killed. He'd survived. He thought, shall I become a Christian? Shall I not? Spent time thinking about it. Eventually, after 3 months, he decided, yes, this sounds good to me. And he gave his heart to Jesus Christ. He prayed, the pastor of the little church in the camp prayed with him. He gave his heart to Jesus Christ. And as he came out of that little chapel into the heat of the day, he came face to face with the man who'd killed his family. And the man couldn't run away because in the intervening time he'd stepped on a landmine and only had one leg. And this brother, his name's Savet, said, Lord, he didn't know, hardly knew Jesus, but he said, Lord, let me just kill him and then I'll follow you. Desire for revenge is something that runs very deep in Cambodian society. They are still so traumatized. But God spoke to him in that moment of time. And he said, the problem is not with him. The problem is in your heart. You won't forgive. Can you imagine that? But the sweet, sweet voice of Jesus came to him in that moment. And it unlocked his heart. And he looked the man in the face and he said, I wanted to kill you, but the God who I now serve has just spoken to me and he said, I must forgive you. I do forgive you. Go. And the man went. John testified of Jesus Christ. This man is sinless. This man is able to bear our sins away, our hurts away, so that we can receive healing from God. How does that come? Well, just in the same chapter, in verse 32 and 33. So John's first revelation was to Christ, the sinless one. Jesus, the sinless man. And then he says this, John bore witness in verse 32 saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove and he remained upon him. I did not know him. In other words, I did not know this was who I was expecting to come. Even though they were cousins. But he who sent me to baptize with water said to me, upon whom you see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, this is he who baptizes with the Holy Spirit. John fixed his gaze on Jesus. John fixed his gaze on Jesus. And as he gazed on Jesus, God spoke to him. He said, this man will take away your sins. John, even though you're baptizing people, you are a sinner. You need to have your sins washed away. This man will bear your sins away. And then this man will baptize in the Holy Spirit. I came to baptize with water, John said. But this man, he'll do what I'm doing, but in the Holy Spirit. Now, this was a wonderful revelation. Second revelation he had, Jesus baptizes in the Holy Spirit. Has Jesus borne your sins away? Do you know that daily cleansing of that precious fountain of the blood of Jesus? There's a wonderful word in John's first epistle where he says that as we walk in the light, as God is in the light, so the blood of Jesus keeps on cleansing us from sin. So as our gaze is directed at Jesus Christ inwardly, steadfastly, not being deflected from looking at him by the things that come upon us, that come into our lives from day to day, not being deflected away from him, so the power of God and the power of the Holy Spirit come into our lives as well. Glory to his wonderful name. There has to be a moment when God comes in his sin-breaking power into our lives by that baptism of the Spirit. There has to be a time when we really meet with Jesus Christ in the depths of our being and know a revolution of love that never happened before. A love that was never there before, but which God sheds abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who he gives to us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Lord. Is your gaze fixed on Jesus tonight? Are you looking at the one? Are you looking at him who is gigantic in his work that he did for you and for me? Oh, blessed Lord. Wonderful Lord. Jesus exalted far above all. Is he exalted far above all? I believe this is what God is saying to us as churches. We've got to exalt the Lord Jesus in our lives. Okay, he's been trashed on TV, he's been trashed in the media, he's been trashed maybe by your next door neighbour, but we need to exalt him as we come together, meet together, sing his praises. He has put a new song in my mouth, even a song of praise unto God. Hallelujah. Have you got a new song in your mouth tonight? If not, Jesus will give you one. He'll put a new song, maybe in a language you don't know. As I said, I was brought up in a town called Burton-on-Trent in Staffordshire, which is about as prosaic a place as you could ever find. And I was in a house with two friends. We were having a little time of prayer, thanking the Lord for coming into our lives. And that night, the Holy Spirit just fell on us. And my life was revolutionized from that night onwards. And I knew I was under a waterfall, a spiritual waterfall that was cleansing through me, coursing through me, washing me clean and doing something in my life that had never been done before and I never dreamed existed. That was when God did something in this young man's life as he was then. Hallelujah. And he's continued to do lots since. Glory to his wonderful name. I was in Cambodia a few years ago, and standing in a river, baptizing a people, tribal people called Kavet, who God had poured his spirit out on in a similar way in their villages in the back end of Cambodia about 5 years ago. Hallelujah. God's doing it all over the world, beloved. He's blowing leaves here, there, and everywhere. And God can do it in your family too. God can unlock things. God can heal things. Because the ministry of the Holy Spirit is the ministry of the Comforter. Do you remember what happened to John? We'll just go briefly into Matthew chapter 11. Matthew chapter 11. And discover what happened to John. He was in a dungeon. And he heard about the works of Christ. And he sent two of his disciples and said, "Are you the coming one, or do we look for another?" He thought he'd heard the voice of the heavenly bridegroom, but now he was doubting. And Jesus gave the answer, "Go and tell John the things which you hear and see. The blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. And blessed is he who is not scandalized because of me." And then he said of John, "What did you go out in the wilderness to see? A reed shaken by the wind?" No, Peter was the reed. John was already a rock. And then Jesus said, we find it in chapter 12 of Matthew, "A bruised reed he will not break. Smoking flax he will not quench. Till he sends forth justice to victory, and in his name Gentiles will trust." Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hebrews chapter 12 verse 2 says this, "Looking away unto Jesus." The original language says this, "To look away from all others at one, to have in full view." It's only used once by the Holy Spirit in the whole New Testament. God wants Jesus to be that to you and me tonight. When Jesus is the only one we have in view, when Jesus is the only one who we have our gaze fixed upon, and all other distractions kind of fall away out of our lives, like the dead leaves, like the useless leaves, then we can burn with that holy intensity of God's love that God desires for us. Praise his wonderful name. Time's gone too fast. Do you want this fire of love in your heart tonight? Amen. Yeah, if you want that, please stand. Let's pray. Let's just spend a little time before the Lord. If you want to respond to the Lord in your heart, out of your heart, please do. Let's just come to the Lord together. Bless his name. Let's worship him. Hallelujah. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Jesus, Jesus. If you need healing in your heart tonight, Jesus is here with his healing touch and his healing grace for you, beloved. Receive it from him. Receive his healing, Jesus. Receive his healing tonight in your life. Oh, Jesus, Jesus.